Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be here with you this morning on a glorious day in the Old Pueblo. Lots and lots of fun things have happened since the last time we got to meet. In the last week, there's amazing new restaurant opportunities popping up all over the city as everybody anxiously tries to get open before that summer slowdown hits us. First and foremost, on the top of the news is going to be the opening of Miss Saigon downtown. They have moved locations to 88 East Broadway. That location, for those of you who are keeping track, was the location of the former Me On restaurant in the bottom of the TEP building, and they've opened up on Monday. That is a fantastic location, a very beautiful build out. I was really saddened to see Me On not make it in that location. They closed in 2019, pre-COVID, mind you, and that location is sat empty for the better portion of 5 years. And so kudos to Rio Nuevo and to the Ma family for getting that restaurant opened up. Hopefully it will be an amazing flagship restaurant for what's a really great local restaurant group over here for Vietnamese food. They've got three locations open here in Tucson, plus a commissary on the northwest side. So please do go take a look at Miss Saigon at 88 East Broadway. As well on Broadway, we've got another pair of openings that happened up just down the street on the Sunshine Mile. And Z-Moms and Zaria's International Bar, both by the same owner, have also just opened up this week as well, too. They're promising a coffee shop as well, too, in this sort of triumvirate on the north side of Broadway in the Broadway and Tucson area that they are calling the Z-Block. And so that should be a pretty neat opportunity to revitalize an area of Tucson that hasn't had a lot of growth in some time, right? That Broadway widening has really, really slowed up development down there. And it's nice to see it starting to rebound and see the private sector coming in to support that. So Z-Moms is back open, Ethiopian cuisine. The Zaria International Bar is promising a host of international sports. You might be able to go see cricket or the local soccer match, see my team Arsenal beat Manchester United. You never know what could be on tap at the Zaria International Bar. I'm very excited to see that one opening up. And big kudos again to Rio Nuevo for that participation. A lot of these local restaurants would not be opening up if it weren't for the contributions of Rio Nuevo, keeping areas like downtown and the Sunshine Mile, quite frankly, in business. There would be a lot more dark store doors there if there was not Rio Nuevo helping out, and I think there's a lot more to come on the Sunshine Mile. Now, the biggest restaurant news out there, for those that pay attention and keep score to politics, however, is happening right now in our state Senate. There is SCR 1040, that's Senate Concurrent Resolution 1040, and that passed the House last week with a vote of 35 to 25, all 31 House Republicans, and four Democrats came over to vote for this one. What is 1040, you might ask? Well, this is the Tipped Worker Protection Act, a ballot initiative, or what will be a ballot initiative if it passes the Senate this week, to codify the server-tipped wage. On this show, we've talked a few times about the challenges of continuing to provide full-service restaurants and bars in the face of rising minimum wage, particularly for tipped employees who have, we've spoke of before, tend to do pretty well. And so this would create a server wage codified in the state constitution. There's going to be a Senate vote on this in the next 2 or 3 days. And so if anybody out there really still enjoys full service restaurants in some capacity, doesn't like ordering from an iPad, and doesn't want to have an iPad flipped to them that says, hey, there's a little question for you here at the end, right? And instead prefers to actually have a server, reach out to your state senators right now. If SCR 1040 passes the Senate this week, it will end up being a ballot initiative. And so what that means is that we'll all, the people of Arizona, get to vote whether we want to continue to have this server wage to protect the tip system. Dozens of bartenders and servers showed up at the House of Representatives last week to testify about how well they did in tips and how they want to preserve this system. And a number of local politicians voted in favor of this, including a couple Democrats that came over to the other side. Kudos to House Representative Alma Hernandez for listening to those servers and bartenders and coming over and voting for the Tipped Worker Protection Act. It's a really big deal for the restaurant industry. And probably last on the news this week in food for thought, a lot of leaving of the University of Arizona, right? Not only did we get the news that President Robbins was going to leave the university at the end of his term or sooner, his term ending in 2026, but most likely going to end sooner, we've gotten news all over my feed on social media talking about the various student athletes that are heading out to greener pastures, right? Including Anderson, Boswell, and Balo at this point have all entered the transfer portal looking for greener pastures in the NIL deal. Again, NIL is name, image, and likeness. That's where the players have the opportunity to profit from their, of course, name, image, and likeness and become compensated for playing. A lot of people joke around the sports bar world that NIL actually stands for now it's legal. And I do think that there's probably some truth to that one as well, too. But I'm not concerned about the brain drain that we're having from basketball players leaving, or even as much about the president of the university. I'm actually concerned about the number of University of Arizona graduates that leave the hallowed halls of, say, McClelland Hall or Harwell or one of these other buildings where they end up leaving Tucson. And they end up in San Diego or Los Angeles or the greater Phoenix area in some capacity, taking their talents somewhere else. And that isn't really a problem with NIL, but something I like to call NEJ. What does NEJ, you might ask? Not enough jobs. And so I think that that is going to be our topic for the day on Jump in Tucson. I've got a guest coming up after the break that happens to be a local entrepreneur, Eller graduate as well too, sits on the Eller admissions side of things to help out with those interviews. And he's come up in Tucson, created his own business and his own company, employs people. And I've done the same thing as an Eller graduate as well too, but I left Tucson after graduating and came back a decade later because there was, quite frankly, not enough jobs. And so when we come back, we're going to have Justin Harris, entrepreneur, owner of TBL Systems, and very involved with the Eller College, to talk about that brain drain in Tucson, what we can do to keep young people here in the old Pueblo after graduating to set up their businesses, families, and roots, and make Tucson the awesome place that it is. Catch you after the break. You're listening to Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson, 1030 AM, The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona. You are listening to Jump in Tucson with your host, Grant Kruger, here on 1030 AM, The Voice. I've got a very special guest here this morning. Welcome live to the Jump in Studios, Justin Harris, owner of TBL Systems, University of Eller graduate. Welcome, Justin.
Good morning, Grant, and bear down.
Good morning, bear down. A big week for U of A, obviously. We didn't get to participate in the national championship basketball game, but I understand you were up there in Glendale.
Yeah, man. Went up there with a buddy and his family Monday night. Got to see, obviously, Purdue versus UConn. Really exciting time. I mean, it's pretty incredible they could fit that many people up there. I mean, obviously, it's a football stadium, so kind of interesting seeing a basketball game in there, but still really good time. They did a fantastic job.
Yeah, a lot of Tucsonans I saw were up at that game over there. I have a feeling that a number of those tickets were bought when we were in the Sweet 16, hoping to advance a little further and have a Final Four in our backyard up in Phoenix, but we weren't so lucky.
Yeah, it's funny. We did see quite a bit of Arizona shirts up there, lots of Bear Downs as we were kind of walking by. I only saw two ASU fans. We won't rag on them too much, but there was actually a pretty good amount of U of A fans, so that was really exciting to see. Pretty surprising. The vast amount was actually Purdue fans. I'm assuming traveling from the Midwest. UConn is a little bit farther, but is still an exciting game, and it was just a really fun and respectable crowd.
Amazing. So we were talking about the U of A before the break, right? I'm both an Eller graduate. You're an Eller graduate over here. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do for a living here in Tucson?
Yeah, so I've been here for about 30 years, originally from, again, the Midwest, the Illinois region. Moved here, came up through the local school system, and then decided to stay at the U of A. And I know as we were talking about, a lot of my friends decided to go to ASU, kind of get out of Tucson. I'm sure, they're they're obviously kind of, you know, slightly considering the Tucson job market when doing so. But I stuck around, did U of A for 4 years, Eller graduate. And then after that, it was about 2006. I hopped into, as everybody was thinking was a good idea, the real estate market. And then as everybody knows what happened about a year later, that didn't end up so well. But I got a good year of experience under my belt. And then I actually hopped into for 6 years doing a financial position for another locally owned company, another entrepreneur, a really good friend's dad, and worked for his company for about 6 years until starting my own company 6 years later. So it's just interesting. Again, I'm sure we'll get into it, but you know, he was an entrepreneur, and then again, having done my thing for the past 11 years, it really kind of just, you know, feeds into the fact that we just have a real strong need for some more stronger jobs here in the Tucson area.
Without a doubt, I say over and over again that jobs will fix just about everything for us here in Southern Arizona, right? This NEJ, this not enough jobs, has been a problem in Tucson for an awful long time. I remember myself graduating from the University of Arizona and going through the classified section of the Tucson Citizen, which I am dating myself by saying that one right there. And it was pretty sparse. I was born and raised in the Detroit metro area. And when the Detroit job classified dwarfs the Tucson job classified, you know something isn't going on right over there.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's a real problem we have. And we have, I'm not sure what the current number is, you know, anywhere from 40 to 50,000, you know, students coming in for a year for the U of A. A lot of them coming in from California, the Phoenix region, the Midwest, coming for the amazing weather, coming for the great cost of living, coming for the college experience. And unfortunately, a vast majority of those kids are leaving. There's nothing to keep them here. And again, the number one thing that they're going to need as a college graduate is a good paying job. They want somewhere that they can, you know, sow their roots, they can start a family, but unfortunately, those headquarters are moving to Phoenix. Those headquarters are getting created in Phoenix, and then obviously, you know, kind of outside of the Arizona region as well. But it's just a real, you know, kind of sad state of affairs when we can't keep, you know, nearly a small percentage of the vast majority of students who are coming in here from out of state and out of city.
Yeah, I was at a breakfast last week with Professor Robbins, who, of course, President Robbins is leaving the university, and he said that there were 53,000 in-person students and over 20,000 students as part of the global University of Arizona campus when they purchased that Ashford University. And so we're looking at like the low 70s right now in terms of that tens of thousands of people that are touched by the U of A. And these are our best and brightest, right? The students that did the best in schools here locally found ways to either get aid or to pay what is a princely sum for a university level education. And then they take their talents somewhere else. And that makes me really, really sad. I think that there's a lot to be said about keeping that local talent here in town. What was it that drove your decision to stay in Tucson as opposed to moving out to greener pastures?
You know, I think coming out of college, you know, I love Phoenix, but I do enjoy kind of the, you know, the smaller town feel and vibe. Again, I was from, Springfield, Illinois, home of Abe Lincoln, the state capital of Illinois, and it's not that big of a city. And so I've always kind of enjoyed, you know, this size of population, what it kind of brings to the feeling of a locality of a town. And so I did enjoy that. I did want to stay here. I enjoy Phoenix, but again, it's just it's a little big and congested for my liking. So, you know, I wanted to kind of, you know, beat the norm of what all my friends were doing and stick around. And I was fortunate enough to find a good job at the kind of tail end of the real estate, you know, kind of debacle that happened a year later. But I was happy to stay. And again, I like the small town feel of Tucson. And I think that's what our city council tries to, you know, hang on to possibly a little too much. I think they're, you know, very vocally want to keep Tucson small and local and weird. And a lot of these cities have kind of taken on that, you know, that mantra over the past few years. I know, you know, Austin's kind of a big city that wants to keep, you know, keep Austin weird. And so while I appreciate that sentiment, you know, again, at some point we need to slightly get away from I think the mom and pop kind of mentality, which I'm not saying drive them out of town, but again, you're going to need, you know, some major drivers of jobs. And, you know, so some of these, you know, just again, things that are going to keep the students local.
Without a doubt. If we don't have the opportunity for those students to stay, all of that time and effort that we put into their education goes somewhere else, and they contribute to other communities. And I think that's one of the reasons that we don't see the economic growth like other places in Arizona. When Southern Arizona is behind Casa Grande in terms of job growth and development, when Tucson is behind a city like, that really says something about what we're doing, you know? But right or wrong, like, facts are facts. We are not creating the jobs or the manufacturing opportunities here in Southern Arizona to keep our best and brightest here in the old Pueblo, and that one really breaks my heart. You're listening to Grant Kruger and Justin Harris, entrepreneur of TBL Systems, and we're going to talk a little bit about TBL Systems. He happens to be an Eller graduate as well, too, here on 1030 AM. The Voice Jump in Tucson is one of the newer shows here on 1030 AM, a local show broadcast live from Bustos Media here in Tucson. We happen to be pretty much the last of the local news and talks that come directly live from the old Pueblo. This isn't coming from Phoenix. This is coming straight from the 520 into your offices, into your cars. Thank you for listening. Justin, like, what made you decide to open your own company? Like, where did you start with TBL? How did this come up?
Yeah, so I had been working kind of in the financial sector, again, as I mentioned, for another local entrepreneur for, you know, about 6 years, kind of in my mid-20s, and just at some point decided, you know, it was a good skill set that I acquired during that position, but it's not something that I wanted to do, I think, for the rest of my life, you know, kind of being in finance and accounting. But it gave me a good building block to be able to start my own company. Unfortunately, I had two friends, also kind of U of A graduates, Tucson locals, that were also in the same mindset. They came from different backgrounds. And we just decided to kind of take a leap of faith. And, you know, I had some money saved up. I think my friend knew that. I think he, you know, kind of understood that I was looking for kind of a switch of pace. And they approached me, and we decided to do it. And this is actually our 11th year now. We have about 10 employees. And so it's nice to be able to give, you know, other people, you know, a good, you know, kind of safe, just prosperous place to have a job. Again, kind of bleeding back into the conversation we were just having, there's you know, not a ton of opportunities for those kinds of positions. So we're very fortunate and very blessed to be able to offer those kind of opportunities to the employees we do have.
No, 11 years, like, that's a great feat, right? A lot of anniversaries going on over here. Earlier this morning, Chris DeSimone was talking about his 15-year anniversary on Wake Up Tucson. We're working on 14 years in Union Hospitality Group and my restaurants here in Tucson. And 11 years TBL Systems, like, salute to you for keeping it together over all these times. It certainly hasn't always been easy doing business in Southern Arizona, huh?
Yeah, it's you know, there's been some ups, there's been some downs, and you know, we've obviously been friends for that 14-year period for your companies, and I've seen obviously what you guys have had to go through in the restaurant industry, especially the past few years with a few of the different, you know, kind of world situations we've been in. But I think it's just a testament to, you know, to the fact that, you know, kind of the one of the reasons we're here is yes, there's a lack of leadership. Yes, there's a lack of jobs here in Southern Arizona. But there is also, you know, a very strong contingent of entrepreneurial mindsets, you know, conservative mindsets, people who want to see a better Tucson. And I think we're a part of that group. And it is very uplifting to be around those kind of people and see that there is, you know, still hope for Southern Arizona and the city of Tucson.
I think there's a lot of hope out there still. We have a lot of things going well for us, right? We've got the climate, we've got the location, we've got the major university here. We just lack a business-friendly culture to attract and keep our youth here. Like, what sort of characteristics do you think, like, we're missing right now for a 22-year-old graduate from the university to decide to come over?
Well, again, I don't want to beat, you know, the dead jobs horse, but I mean, obviously, I think that's going to be, you know, characteristic number one, obviously. And I think, you know, we have two, you know, pretty amazing, you know, characteristics for a city, and the fact that, you know, we have amazing weather. Again, it depends on your preference. Some people aren't a huge fan of 110, but others aren't. Again, we can talk about these things after the break. But I think the other thing is just going to be, you know, kind of some of the scenery around the U of A. There's obviously some kind of dead spots in there, some spots, you know, just south of 6 that you would be surprised that, you know, that don't have, you know, some buildings and shops in there. But I think if we can kind of, you know, prop those up, show some young, you know, new people to Tucson that there is some nice scenery, some nice, you know, job prospects, I think we can get them to stay.
Without a doubt, I think that's a great place to wrap up this segment over here. Stick around with me for another segment or two. We're going to talk back to Justin Harris, owner of TBL Systems, U of A graduate, works on the Eller admissions interviews as well, too, about ways to keep our young minds here in the old Pueblo. What characteristics do we need to have to keep 24 through 40-year-olds here in Tucson to create jobs, set up their families, set up their roots, and make this a better place? You are listening to Grant Kruger, Jump in Tucson, 10:30 the AM, The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona, to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Grant Kruger. I thank you so much for spending part of your morning with us here on Jump In. We happen to have guest Justin Harris, entrepreneur, owner of both TBL Systems, and helps out with the Eller College of Business Admissions at the U of A. Before the break, we were talking about characteristics of Tucson, ways that we could make Tucson more exciting for our youth to stick around over here. What sort of characteristics of the students are you looking for at Eller on the admissions side, Justin?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting process. I mean, a lot of times it's these kids, and I hate to call them kids, but I mean, you know, 18 years old, some or, you know, 18, 19, 20, sometimes it's their first interview for anything. So, you know, most of them are pretty nervous coming into it. A lot of times you're shaking their hand and, you know, their hand's a little shaky and they're a little kind of uncertain. You can tell they're very prepared. A lot of the responses are pretty canned. And so I think a lot of times it's just confidence, you know, looking for somebody who's kind of ready to take on that next challenge of their educational career. They've been doing their prereqs for 2 years. They're hopefully have an understanding of kind of what they want to do. So really just somebody who's confident and knows that this is the leap they want to take. Because again, it's a pretty, you know, intense 2-year commitment, as I'm sure you remember. So I think just, you know, confidence and kind of an idea of what they're about to get into.
And Eller has been noted for having a really great entrepreneurship program as well, too. And that's something that I always try to salute here on Jump in Tucson. And a large focus of our interviews have had an entrepreneurial or political aspect to it, because it really takes a lot of courage to take that leap and jump out on your own and go out there and sign the front of a paycheck as opposed to the back of a paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, Eller does offer actually a you know, a separate degree in entrepreneurship, and it's kind of a senior year, 1-year degree program. You have to separately apply for it, but you know, I do think it was pretty valuable. I mean, I know there's a lot of controversy about, you know, kind of college education, you know, these days. You know, is it worth just the absolute insane amount of money that they're you know, basically ransoming you for these days, and kind of what you're getting out of it. But I, you know, I do think it was a very valuable program in the sense that you got to meet, as you just said, some local entrepreneurs, the connections you made, and you present just an absolute ton. You come up with a business plan, you present on it, you're actually in front of investors, and you get a chance to kind of pitch your case. And I think just that experience and the connections in general are pretty invaluable. Getting the confidence of getting up in front of, you know, these pretty tenured you know, professionals, and being able to kind of pitch your case and being confident as a 20, 21-year-old kid, I think is pretty valuable experience, you know, no matter what situation you're in.
Without a doubt, those are the soft life skill sets that don't necessarily show up on a spreadsheet, that don't show up on a report card, but something that I worry that so many of us are losing, those interpersonal communication skills, right? To be able to go out and shake someone's hand and look them in the eye and confidently, you know, hold a conversation about your hopes and dreams and futures and aspirations is something that we're all lacking in a world of short text messaging. And I think that that's something that it really is helpful for our youth to be able to practice and do.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, you have these classes, and there's obviously, you know, a major center around it, but, you know, communication. And so it's so interesting, you know, kind of talking to kids these days. And a lot of times, you know, a phone call is something, you know, super foreign. I mean, again, you know, texts and social media, their communication skills are just something that unfortunately are starting to really lack. So I think, you know, forcing them into these situations of having to present, having to use your communication skills, you know, up your vocabulary, getting the confidence to go in front of a crowd of people. I know they offer kind of the Toastmasters types of classes even through Eller, but just gaining that confidence in those situations to be able to get up and, again, just use your communication skills and not have to hide behind, you know, a screen or you know, have to do it over email or text is something that, you know, is just such an invaluable asset.
Without a doubt. So segueing over to back to the city of Tucson and what we can do here in Tucson and Pima County, like, What is it that's lacking for students to want to stay here besides jobs? Do you think there's like a cultural impact of not having enough restaurants, bars, nightlife, sports? Like, what is it that Tucson is lacking to keep the 24 through 40 year olds here in the Old Pueblo?
Yeah, I think, you know, actually Tucson's done a pretty good job, not to toot your horn, but of actually having a you know, from my opinion, a pretty decent restaurant and bar scene, if you will. I mean, we have some pretty good local culinary establishments. You know, fortunately, I think a lot of people do come here for that, actually. But I think one of the main things is just the lack of events and, you know, sporting events, music events. You know, I know some, again, other local entrepreneurs have done a great job in local years of coming up with some really good events. You know, I know recently we just had the Dusk Music Fest. Or, you know, obviously the charitable golf tournament does a good job of throwing, you know, a pretty major music event that just happened this year with Midland. But, you know, again, we've ran out of Tucson the spring training. I know we have a couple of you know, kind of local AAA, you know, style teams, but I think really having those kind of major Phoenix or California events, you know, again, as a 21, 22, 23 year old, those are the types of things that you want to attend with your friends and to, you know, create memories and live in a place where you can, you know, take an Uber or drive down to these events. But we just don't, you know, have the types of things that obviously the Vegases or the Phoenixes or the Californias are going to have.
No, we've been a big proponent of local sports here on Jump in Tucson and on 10:30 a.m. in general as well, too. If you note, a couple of months ago, we brought in, you know, groups to talk about baseball and the possibility, Edgar Soto and the groups behind the Mosaic Quarters about bringing a pro baseball team over here. We do happen to have a professional arena football team and a pro hockey team, and I've got a great partnership going on with the Tucson Roadrunners. We do a fair bit of trade and promotion with those hockey tickets and those hockey teams. I've got actually a couple pairs of tickets over here as well, too. Flex vouchers, good for any of the remaining four games on the regular season for the Tucson Roadrunners. So that would be games that are on either the Colorado game on the 12th and 13th this weekend coming up, or San Jose on the 19th and 20th. And I'll give away two pairs of these flex vouchers right now to the first two callers at 520-790-2040 is our call-in line. That is 790-2040. If you guys are looking for a couple of awesome seats to the Tucson Roadrunners, I got flex tickets for you at 790-2040. Go out there and support the Roadrunners. The Sugar Skull season is starting up as well, too. These are great ways for you to participate and keep these local events here in Tucson. If we want to keep the youth and we want to keep that energy here, we've got to support the concerts. We've got to support the sports and those sort of events. Otherwise, they're not going to stick around.
No, and again, that's the problem, as you mentioned. And for anybody calling in for these tickets, I've sat in these seats before. It's an absolute blast, these hockey games. You get some great action out there. Get out there, you know, get a hot dog, get a beer if that's your thing. But they're awesome seats, so definitely call in and get those. But I mean, you're right, Grant. We need more of those kinds of things. We need the city council to be more open to you know, kind of adhering to these kind of events, again, bringing in the jobs that we need. I know, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, I've gotten in some, you know, pretty heated conversations with people who say, well, we have the jobs, and, you know, they bring up, you know, certain companies, you know, maybe a Caterpillar or Ventana Medical Systems, and those are great companies, and I'm very happy they're here, and I hope they stay here, and I hope they expand. But again, we're talking about, you know, 1,500, maybe 2,000 jobs at a, you know, at a tick, and so, you know, we need some more kind of substantial things here to keep these, you know, college graduates here. With that, we'll increase, you know, kind of the tax base, the economic base, and with that, we'll bring these incredible events that we're sitting here talking about today.
Yeah, I can't wait. We've struggled quite a bit, actually, at Union Hospitality Group with even live music. Some of my customers have heard me, you know, wax on and on about even the criminal charges that I've personally received for hosting live music in St. Philip's Plaza, right? You can look me up on the Pima County Justice System and actually see criminal misdemeanors in my name for such egregious offenses as the Phil Davis Jazz Trio or 80s and Gentlemen. And when we can't do things like live music, when we can't do things like concerts because it turns into a not in my backyard sort of society, we really limit our opportunities for cultural enjoyment. And I think it really hurts our population base, and people choose to go to other municipalities where those things are allowed.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it just kind of bleeds into to all different types of bureaucracies. And I mean, I know for a ton of these different venue locations, you know, we run into, again, noise ordinances, and I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the local neighborhood HOA systems. And, you know, being a fellow HOA president, you know, I don't want to sit here and completely knock on HOAs, but I think we need a little more, you know, kind of leniency if it comes from the county, you know, from the sheriff's department, from Tucson, from the city of Tucson, or from some of these local, you know, neighborhood associations. If for one day a year, you know, you have to deal with a little bit of noise past 10 p.m., I mean, again, if it's bringing in, you know, business for that community, if it's you know, attracting, you know, what if it's students to want to stay because of an event like that, I just think we need to be a little bit more open-minded to those kinds of things and not so, you know, stringent and closed-minded past a 10 p.m. curfew.
Without a doubt, these are things that are definitely missing here in the Old Pueblo. We're going to go to break here in just a minute. And we come back, we're going to explore the final segment on what we can do to keep Tucson, like, growth going with our youth, like ways to keep the university students here in the Old Pueblo to set up their roots and raise their families. You're listening to Grant Kruger and Justin Harris on Jump In Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona, to Jump In Tucson with your host, Grant Kruger. We are live with Justin Harris, entrepreneur, founder of TBL Systems here in Tucson. Thank you for the mountain of calls during the break, by the way. We had an absolute flood over there. Matt got lit up on the boards, and both Dean and Nancy are going to be the winners of our Tucson Roadrunners ticket packages. That will be a pair of Flex vouchers for each of them, good for any game of their choosing on the 12th and 13th or 19th and 20th of this month. Those are the season finales for the Tucson Roadrunners. We've also got a call in there from Paul right now as well, too, that wants to talk about that brain drain that we've been discussing here in Tucson. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Yeah, I should start by saying I'm a native in my 80s from Arizona. There's a couple of questions that you haven't answered for me. We've got a major university here for the state of Arizona, and we're attracting people from all the good and the bad places around the world, and I'm not sure that we want to keep a lot of these people in Tucson. And some of the facts that you did not bring us is what percentage of the people at the University of Arizona from the Southern Arizona area are staying here. To me, that's the people that we should concentrate on staying here, not the ones from Detroit and these other leftist cities around the country who don't pay their rent to me about half the time. They skip out. They have riots in downtown Tucson, create general havoc. You never mentioned that. Are you sure that you want to keep a lot of these people around Tucson, and what good are they for us?
A very fair question there, Paul, right? I think that we do want to keep a lot of the educated folk that come to the university. Part of one of the problems that we really have, Paul, is that the university profits substantially more from out-of-state tuition, and over the years has given tremendous scholarships to out-of-state tuition. If you look at the speeches that have been recently given by President Robbins and by the Board of Regents, they're actually talking right now, Paul, about reducing that financial aid specifically for out of state. And I think that will be rewarding for what you're talking about, that you don't want necessarily these ideals from a New York or a Seattle making their way to Tucson as well too. But part of what makes us great is our diversity and thought from everywhere. And I do think that having an educated base that sticks around in Tucson really does make a lot of sense. Out of those 53,000 students, we might only that are the in-person side, because the other 20,000 or so on this new global university, we haven't even owned it long enough to pull statistics. We're probably keeping 25 to 30% of them here in Tucson at best, and losing the other 70. Wouldn't you say, Justin?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty, you know, kind of, you know, accurate percentage there. And again, Paul, I think it's a great question, and thanks for the call. I mean, you know, again, in a perfect world, I mean, I think it would be, you know, great to just have, you know, people coming in who you know, only have the same mindset as you, but as Grant kind of mentioned, again, I think in the best scenario, you would have people coming in from different states, you know, different communities, you know, coming here to Southern Arizona. And if we can do our job as conservatives of making Southern Arizona kind of a mainstay or a staple for those types of principles, you know, in my opinion, I would want, you know, people from all different walks of life to come into that type of culture. And not that we want to change the university into, you know, kind of a conservative think tank from a liberal think tank. But again, if we can create a free speech place that these universities have no longer become, and allow these, you know, basically kids to come in and foster their own thoughts and ideas, I would hope that if we do a better job in Southern Arizona, they would come out thinking and you know, considering these things more along of a conservative mindset. So, but I, you know, obviously I understand the point, and, you know, thanks for the call.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in over there, quite frankly. But ultimately, like, we need our educated folks to stick around here in Tucson for jobs and to create jobs that are not just government related. One of our biggest problems and is the fact that the grand majority of our jobs are in fact government, right? Our largest employers are the Air Force Base, which is government, the University of Arizona, which is government, right? The Pima County itself, which is government, Raytheon, which is essentially, you know, 1 degree away from government, a tier one government supplier. And as such, you're going to have groups that are for bigger and more government and higher taxes when you get that way. And so we need to create more avenues in the private sector that create non-governmental jobs, jobs that aren't just financial and medical services for older folks or hospitality. And those are tough to come by here in Southern Arizona. That's something that I task not just our electeds, but our Metro Chamber of Commerce, our SALC, the Sun Corridor, to go out and recruit and get these jobs, because this is going to fix just about everything for us here in Tucson. You want the real estate market to work? Jobs. You want the restaurants to work? People need disposable income to come out to eat. Like, all of these things require jobs. And as we talked about in the beginning of the show, we've been suffering from NEJ, not enough jobs. And I would love to find ways to help create more opportunities, not just for those that graduate from the University of Arizona, but those that are part of Pima, even those coming through the JTED system. Traditional college education has lost some of its efficacy. It's safe to say, graduating with a liberal arts degree, an English major, a psychology degree may not provide jobs for you out there. If those student loans were in some way, shape, or form non-dischargeable, and the university was left on the hook to have to pay for those, do you think they would continue to peddle and offer those degrees?
Yeah, I mean, those are all fair points. I mean, that's a lot to break down here towards the end of the show. But I mean, another point that, you know, Colin Paul brought up was just, you know, obviously it sounds like the quality of some of his tenants, it sounds like he might, you know, possibly be a landlord, has kind of, you know, degraded over the past few years. And, you know, I don't necessarily see that as much of an issue as, you know, people coming in from out of state and from different communities. You know, I think it's more of some of these policies and laws that have been, you know, instated kind of in our post-COVID world that we now live in. I mean, you see, you know, again, you know, all of the renter rights that occurred, you know, after COVID. Obviously, you know, I'm not saying to take away all of them, but I think there was obviously a huge moratorium on rent payments. And then you look at, you know, kind of all the squatter situations that are popping up, you know, kind of all over the country now. I think we've had some recent registration here come through, you know, our own state. But, you know, again, I don't think those are necessarily, you know, kind of larger issues to deal with, you know, people coming in from out of state. I would welcome that kind of business.
Without a doubt. So much to unpack here on Jump in Tucson. I've got to thank you, Justin Harris, founder of TBL Systems, for joining us here this morning on Jump In. A fascinating conversation about the brain drain in Southern Arizona, ways to keep our young talent here in the 520, ways to not just be worried about NIL, but be worried about NEJ. That is not enough jobs. Tomorrow, join us for Tom Moulton's Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance on Jump in Tucson. Thank you for spending your morning with us. I am Grant Kruger. This has been Jump in Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk.